LP, Petaluma, California. Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson, and wow, what a morning it's been. Anyway,
good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah. Good morning. And
great to have you back.
Yeah.
You were missed.
Well, thank you.
But Jason did a great job.
First try.
That's good.
Okay, so let me get all the levels right here. I think we're all
it's
good.
A little hot, but that's okay.
It is running a little hot, and I'm fixing that right now.
Cool.
So, lots has been going on while I was gone for a week.
It's been a busy week.
I heard you guys did a good show.
Well, we had a very interesting show. We were joined by David Keller and Joan Cooper, and we talked about Schoenberger Park and the Dutra Project and everything involved in that. And It went pretty fast. I was amazed.
Yeah, it was a great update. I mean, and a lot of good questions, and they're very knowledgeable.
Yeah, it always goes faster. We're always worried that we're not going to have enough to talk about, and then we're looking at the clock, and wow, we're done.
It's funny how that is. It can start slow, and then suddenly it's like, where did the time go? And then we're rush, trying to finish.
It's kind of like a fun dinner party, you know?
Yeah.
It just goes on forever.
Exactly.
Okay, we got a long list of stuff today, so...
We do.
What about the candidate forum this week at City Hall?
Well, I was pleased to be able to see that from the comfort of my home. It was a really nice way to watch the forum. Having said that, it would be great if Petaluma Community Access had HD, just because the quality is certainly not as good. So, yeah, you guys who were there... actually in the flesh got a better view than I did, but I got the substance of it, and I think it was pretty interesting.
It was very interesting. A lot of
you were there, actually.
I was there. Front row. Yeah.
I saw you there.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, no. In the cameras?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Are you on TV?
Well, no, I thought that was a safe place. I thought you were in the camera in other seats.
There's multiple cameras.
I guess so. Uh-oh. Yikes.
Yeah, in the chamber, so...
Yeah.
I didn't get to see it because I don't have Comcast and I don't have AT&T Uverse, so those of us with a Dish network don't have access to that anymore.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was actually streamed live. I didn't check that, but I'm sure the archive will be available if it's not already posted on YouTube.
Well, and we do have, PCA did have, they have a DVD of that, and I'm trying to talk them into finding a spot somewhere on KPCA where we can air it. You won't see it, but you can at least hear it.
Yeah, there's some things that I totally missed. Like I heard one of the candidates spilled their water during it. I couldn't see that from home.
Well,
so
I didn't see it either. Sitting right in the front row.
Some of the stuff maybe you had to actually be on the dais to view, but apparently there was a bit of a mess there.
Huh. Yeah. I don't think anybody...
In more ways than one, as a matter of fact. Not just the water.
Yeah, it was good to see, you know, we have a lot of candidates running. There were quite a few new candidates for school board. That was the first part of the forum. They went through the school board candidates, and so there were three incumbents, and they've been on for a bit. I think they're maybe into their second, third term, some of them. And there were three new candidates who I thought were pretty impressive, very interesting. Caitlin Quinn, who's only 25, very impressive candidate. Who actually went to Casa Grande, so she's from Petaluma initially, and And she's back and very excited to do some great work on the school board. And she's gotten quite a few endorsements. I saw even the Argus Courier endorsed her.
Nice.
She in Berkeley, she was really political.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, you know, brought it forward, which is great. After graduating, she came back to her community and wants to serve.
Well, she's very bright.
Yes.
And she's very young. But I think she has a lot of great energy. And, I'm supporting her. I think it'd be great to have her, especially the fact that she's so connected still to where she came from in terms of the school.
Exactly.
I think it's great to have a perspective that's not that removed from the students.
It's true.
And so she's kind of, maybe we'll bridge that a little
yeah.
bit. I don't know. So I thought she was interesting. There was Joanna
Pond
also was a counselor. I thought she was very interesting. She made a point of it, so I'll bring it up too. It would add some diversity to the board, obviously. She's
nice.
African American. And I like that she has a counseling background. Again, a student advocate, that's a good thing. And then Maddie Cloud,
yeah.
also a new candidate who is a retired school teacher from Casa Grande.
Casa Grande.
She
started off at Grant and then went to Casa Grande.
Yeah, so she was interesting. She had was advocating a creative approach to some things, and again also bridging that the divide that we've had between the teachers' unions and the school board. I think it would be good to have someone with a teaching background on the school board. So this is going to be an interesting race. I mean,
yeah.
it's full-fledged. I'm seeing the signs go up.
It's almost as exciting as the council race.
It is. Oh, and also, I guess, I'm sorry, Lulabelle's mother.
Lulabelle, Timmy Seitz.
Timmy, yes. So she's not running or she is running?
Her name is on the ballot.
Okay.
But she actually contacted me and she said that she is throwing her support to Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
Joanna and Caitlin, and she decided to run because she was afraid other people weren't going to run.
I see.
And so she's just not participating, but her name will be on the ballot.
And that issue was actually mentioned. I think Joanna Pond mentioned it actually, the mic muting issue that happened. And
yeah, she was the only one that mentioned
she brought that,
that
up as
yeah.
one of the more contentious sort of issues.
Yeah.
And people should not forget that.
No,
they shouldn't forget it.
Yeah.
You know, especially what's happening today with Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frightening.
They should not forget
yeah.
the incident. More
That's
so,
right.
they should not forget all the fallout afterwards at the meetings.
Yeah.
And the treatment of people.
Yeah. Well, there's it feels like there's a sense, there's a big, strong sense that some change on the school board would be a good thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people.
I think, I don't want to disparage the current school board incumbents. I think they've made a good effort. I think that their heart's probably in the right place. But I think it is a good opportunity to give
right.
some new candidates a chance.
Change is good.
Yeah.
Change is good.
And the argument I've heard from some is like, oh, well, the budget's so complicated and we have these issues that require this expertise and experience. Well, there are other incumbents still on the school board whose terms aren't up, so they're still going to be there.
Right.
And, of course, these people that are on now were new at one time.
That's
and,
right.
And they
were mentored by
yeah. Yeah.
sitting
so.
Board members.
I understand that. I appreciate the argument. But, of course, you could make that argument for never changing any incumbency. You know, just say once someone has
to have a life.
Yeah.
yeah.
Could be an example.
So
yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it went well. Then following that, we had the mayoral and candidates forum. And we have, what is it, seven candidates for council that are running. Is it seven?
I believe it's seven.
Did I have that right? Let's see. Well, who have we got running? We have, starting with Dennis Posake. We've got Delinda Fisher. We have...
Reagan.
We have... Yes, I was going to say Kevin McDonald. Starting with the ones I was supporting, sorry. so that's three. And then, yeah, sure, Michael Reagan is four. Scott Alonso would be 5.
Rob Conklin.
Rob Conklin would be 6. Oh, and Dave King.
Dave King. Incumbent.
Is that it? Did I miss anyone?
Nope.
Okay, so there's 7. And there's 3 open spots because Teresa is not running again for council. She's running for mayor. So she's an incumbent on the council, but she's running for mayor. So that seat is open. Chris Albertson, the ex-fire chief, who's been an incumbent for a bit, he's not running again. So his seat's up. And Dave King is running for his seat again.
Correct.
So those are the 3 seats we're talking about that are up. And, I thought it was pretty interesting. What struck me is how similar a lot of the responses were. You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, we want to have Rainier. No one's going to say that we're against Rainier. Everybody says we should have more affordable housing. No one says that shouldn't happen. Although, actually, there was one candidate said no development should happen at all. That was interesting. But why don't we start by talking about the mayoral candidates? Because it turns out there's actually 3 of them. I wasn't really aware of that officially, but I guess we have 3 candidates. And I didn't know that Brian Powell would even show up because he hasn't done a lot of the questionnaires. I've contacted him via his Facebook page and never had a response. So I wasn't sure how serious it is.
He actually contacted me.
He did. Interesting.
Yeah, and he wanted to meet, and so we met at Pete's in East Petaluma.
How did that go?
Kind of like the way he talked at the council meeting. Yeah. You weren't getting a lot of information. Yeah. I felt like I was just kind of in a circle. He was talking in a circle. Didn't really answer questions, and that's fine. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I apologize.
A quarter and a quarter.
I will. I promise I will.
Right.
And so, probably about 20 minutes into the conversation, I just got up and I said, it's a nice meeting, and I've got to go.
Interesting.
Because there was nothing really to talk about. He just talked about he doesn't want any growth. He wants to privatize a lot of the jobs that city workers are doing as far as, like, streets. And it just seemed like a no conversation. It wasn't going anywhere.
What I would say that I respected about him is he was very clear in not having answers to a lot of the problems that we face. And he was honest about that. There were several times where his answer was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Does that make him well qualified for mayor? Not in my opinion, personally, but I just appreciate the authenticity that I saw.
Well, when we met, I kept asking, "Is he reviewed the budget?" And he said he didn't need to review the budget.
Yeah.
And I said it's kind of important to look at the budget as if you're going to be running. Well, because you are running, and that was a little bit odd. And he did not. The city codes. He didn't know a lot about that.
Yeah.
The city charter. Yeah. He hasn't read.
Right.
And so those are pretty important, two important things, understanding a budget, understanding how the city actually runs as a charter city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's one of those things where sometimes the less you know about something, the easier it is to take a position on it. And I think that that's the case in a number of his positions. Yeah. I mean, he's basically saying that we should not approve any more development at all. And yet we have all of these things that need revenue, and there's no plan that he has in order to bring that revenue. And then I think at tailing off towards the end of one of his answers, he said, I guess maybe we have to look at some sort of a tax. And, of course, that's the fallback that every candidate goes to, because at a certain point, that's all we can do.
We can have some development, but it needs to be responsible development.
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
that's the deal.
Exactly.
Right there.
Exactly. Well, and we want good development. I mean, there is a shortage of affordable housing. There's a lot of opportunities in the central specific area of Petaluma that does need some development. Mixed use would be appropriate. And there are incentives where we can get some funding help for doing that kind of development. So this was why most of the people that what I would say is maybe have put a little bit more time and thought into what's involved in being a candidate. Most of them did point to the types of development that actually are in our general plan and encouraged, and that's mixed-use, transit-oriented development. So I was that was this thing that struck me as very similar between the candidates other than Powell is that when we looked at Teresa Barrett, who's running for mayor against Mike Harris, they both reference transit-oriented development, which I thought was interesting because historically Harris has not been as much of a leader in pushing for that kind of development. So I thought that was interesting to where you know he's kind of getting trying to take a similar position in some ways as Teresa.
Well, it's interesting. You know, he's been in local politics about 20 years, and he's saying the same thing for 20 years. I mean, he really hasn't made a lot of change in his thought from what I was hearing, but I don't ever see him coming to city council meetings. He goes from meeting to meeting on boards, but he doesn't really get involved in the minutiae at a city council meeting. And so I'd really like to know how he would vote on some of the issues just on, you know, recent council meetings. What's his position? And I don't know what his position is, and you really can't tell at a forum.
Right. No. And most candidates, if they're not on the dais and facing an issue, they're not going to be very specific about how they're going to vote. So that's kind of hard.
Well, they should have a position, or they should have at least, they should be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen. And when you've been involved for 20 years in a community, and you don't even go to a city council meeting, you don't make any comments.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'd like to know how my candidate's going to vote.
Oh,
exactly.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's just it's common that they won't. they don't want to tell you. And it's about a lot of it has to do with too when they're running. When they're running for election, they want to say yes to everybody, or no to the people they think they should say no to. And so it's difficult. It's cagey. And when I think these forums, the best that they do is they show how these candidates can respond to questions on their feet. Can they speak extemporaneously? Are they able to draw from information they've accumulated, resynthesize it on the spot, and deliver an answer? And there were a couple candidates that I felt were a little bit more impressive in that regard than not.
Yeah.
I think Teresa was very strong in reminding voters that she's only been in the majority on the council for two years. And those 2 years were when many of the positive accomplishments that we've now seen come to Petaluma actually got started. Things like the Economic Strategic Development Plan, that was something that the progressive majority actually brought up and got through. And so, you know, you look at the other things that have come up, the theater districts, lots of these good projects for Petaluma came during those times. And her essential point was that otherwise, the majority council has been, unfortunately, approving projects that haven't been really meeting the spirit of our, or even the letter of our
general
plan.
Yeah,
and that's why we have all of this traffic and things like that. So I think it's important when voters are looking at the situation that they realize that we have two incumbents, essentially, that are running again. Now, Harris isn't a current incumbent, but he's only been off the council for 4 years. And so when you look at the landscape of Petaluma and the issues that we're facing, understand that there's a responsibility there to previous councils. And we need to keep that in mind when we're having a new council, because what they do now is going to impact our future, negatively or positively. But when you continue to approve and over-approve traffic-inducing developments, and you have this, you know, this promise of Rainier in the distance that you keep throwing out there as really just a promise, where does that leave us? That leaves us in a very congested town.
Well, let me tell you where that leaves us, because when I was driving here today, this is part of my notes that I wrote down. I want to talk about truck traffic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the city doesn't have a good truck route.
Yeah.
They're at Lagunitas and the Postal Service.
Yeah.
They're all coming down to Washington Street and McDowell to get on the freeway. They need to go up to Old Redwood Highway, get on there, because you're destroying McDowell and you're clogging up the roads.
Exactly.
And, you know, and if you get those 18-wheelers in going in a different direction, you're going to have less roads that are degraded. Traffic is going to be a lot less because these are 18-wheel trucks.
Yeah.
These are huge trucks.
Yeah.
And this is all new.
Yeah.
And the city is doing absolutely nothing about it. And that's a real problem. And so this is just today. And so this is why I have this down. My Postal Service, Lagunitas, and all these other trucks. It is not hard for a city to do a truck route.
Yeah, well,
but sometimes I feel like they like to punish people and not do this so they can say, look how bad traffic is. This is why you need to tax yourself.
Yeah, well, and look what's happening there at Washington, the Washington off-ramp northbound. Those big trucks that are trying to go to Deer Creek, and they're going across the entire intersection and blocking all of traffic, sometimes through two cycles of the light.
And this goes back to, you know, what we're talking about as far as looking at the future and looking at development.
Right.
Instead of, and, you know, we talked about this before, and I actually talked with somebody from Friedman's about this last week. I was at Harry Friedman's funeral, which I have to say, they're good people. I mean, they really give back to their community in ways that people really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to somebody that was with them for many, many years, and he said, well, he really wanted the Friedmans down by, like, the Target Center or on Payrand where there was this big piece of property for sale.
Yeah.
And that's not where it went. And to this day, I knew by our conversation that he knows that Friedman should have been in a different area. And for a lot of the reason is because you would have had better freeway on and off ramp. You would have had Caulfield. You would have had Washington.
Right.
And so now you don't have that. And I'm sure it does hit a bottom line of a business. I mean, it has to. And so it was never about against Friedman's.
Right.
It was about where it should have been. And this goes back to the developer decides, the city council follows. This is why you need a city council that says, this is where we would like you to be.
Right.
And then you work together to make it happen. And we would not have the truck traffic on McDowell that we have today. And it's just not right.
And this was all brought up at Planning Commission.
It was all brought up and nobody wanted to listen.
That's right.
And so it kind of, it was a good feeling talking to this person.
Yeah.
Well, but he kind of stated the same thing.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's worth saying that both Teresa Barrett and David Glass voted for the environmentally superior alternative, which I supported as well. Many of the progressives did. We were all for Friedman, despite what the paper wanted to say.
Exactly. The propaganda and the campaign is what it was.
But how about skilled nursing centers? I mean, that we have a shortage of those. We have an aging population. We talked about this a couple shows ago. There's a video that Teresa Barrett has, which is very cool, and she just summarized this point in the debate. I'll just read it verbatim, but she says, 20 years ago, we developed a vision for this town, including a river enhancement plan, a bike plan, and a specific plan for the central core, all aimed at taking advantage of Petaluma's heart and improving circulation throughout our town while building a walkable core. And this is the key point. However, council majorities have allowed developers to overbuild in ways that increased traffic, did not provide affordable housing, and degraded what is best about our town. So this is the thing voters need to be thinking about when they're looking at the candidates. It's not just about what people are promising, but what have they delivered?
That's
what have they
delivered
consistently over the years? And if you look at these two candidates, it's quite a contrast. We have one, on the other hand, Teresa Barrett, who's really been looking out for the public interest. She's really been trying to keep with our general plan, with the idea of a walkable core and more transit-oriented development. And then we have her opponent, who, frankly, I've never seen him work to improve a single project. I mean, what he generally does is a developer brings something, and he says, oh, great, here's the impact fees, here's this potential tax revenue, we're going to all for it, bang. And then at the same time, here he is promising, and don't worry about the traffic, folks, because we're going to have this Rainier, which he's been promising since, what, 2000?
20 years.
Yeah, I mean,
2002.
So
still talking about it.
But they're all saying, well, I mean, like Rob Conklin said, you know, we may have to go door to door and sell bonds.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go buy a bond?
Yeah. Well, we've been put in a situation now, because all this development's been approved, that we have to do something.
Yeah.
There has to be some connector.
Well, then let's go back to this, because this is at the council meeting that I went to on Monday. They were talking about Proposition 6,
yeah.
you know, and the resolution to support it. So I just got up and I said, it's really important that Prop 6 passes. But why is Corona not on the plan to widen 101? It's not up to earthquake standards. It was built in 1953-54.
Yeah.
The railing's too low. It's not up to ADA. Bikes, it's dangerous for bicyclists.
Pedestrians.
Pedestrians.
Yeah.
And yet you're putting a couple hundred, you're going to be putting about 300 homes in this area, right on the corner of Corona and Sonoma Mountain Parkway.
Right.
And so I said that it's important that this be part of the 101 widening. And I looked at Kathy Miller, our councilwoman, who is the Sonoma County Transportation rep, and I said, it's important that that happen, and you are our rep for that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, well, we can just put it on a, we can just say, yes, we want that done. And what she didn't realize is that there are three agencies you have to work with to make that happen. It's not that easy, but it's easy if you work with the agencies.
Maybe you need to be on that commission.
I'll tell you what it is. It's, I have talked to David Rabbit about this many times, about including this in here. And he, as our representative, he's not doing it. There are more and more accidents on 101, especially around these undercrossings, because they're really not wide enough for three lanes. You're almost hitting the pillars. Mm-hmm. And so my point is that the city, the county, and Caltrans could have sat down years ago, had this planned out. And it's, and so you're asking people to vote no to so that the tax will not, the gas tax won't be repealed.
Right.
But the city is doing nothing for one major overcrossing. And then during the forum, they talked about emergency services.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, not one person said, in case of an earthquake and Corona goes down, that is a regional road, like Washington is a regional road. It takes you to Old Adobe Road. Corona takes you to Old Adobe Road. Corona takes you to the coast. Those are regional roads. They take you somewhere.
Corona's my crosstown connector.
My crosstown connector, too, a lot of times. But the point is if you're not going to be putting that forward when 101 is widening, why should you be asking us to tax ourselves when Petaluma never gets their fair share? And it's and I don't appreciate when a council person looks at me and says, the city can decide that. No, they can't. You have to work with Caltrans, our supervisor, which is the county, and the city need to work together as a team, and they are not doing that. And I'm, you know, I've been dealing with transportation in this town since 1993, and you would think that they would have moved forward into the, you know, 21st century. We're still doing this. We're still doing strip malls, which are not bringing in the tax revenue to pay for all of these projects.
No.
And a lot of the young candidates were really pushing a tax.
I heard another thing today in the paper. This was not a local issue per se, but it could become one, and that is the trend in mattress purchasing. Have you noticed how many mattress stores we have in town?
A lot.
How sustainable is that? apparently, one of the largest mattress companies just announced that they're going to be shutting down like several hundred of their stores nationwide. And now Amazon is competing with a lot of these online places selling foam mattresses for like a third of what, well, I bought a Tufton Needle myself, and that, and I just found out that Amazon's got a foam mattress that's like $300 or something. And so what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with all these mattress stores in Petaluma?
No, I mean, no, it's really true. It's mattress stores and there's other stores.
Yeah.
Because people are
people
buying
are shopping
online.
That's going to completely change the whole retail format. And you know, what, back to what you said, we're approving, and this was all known.
This was all known and talked about.
Yeah.
Why don't we have an appliance center?
You know,
where do you gotta go to buy a TV?
Well,
to a big box.
You have to go to a big box. No, it's really interesting because
Target has TVs.
Well, I consider Target
Kmart. You can buy TVs
and
at other
appliances through Kmart.
Yeah.
And
I bought most of my.
What if I want a washing machine?
You can go to Kmart.
I ordered,
you can order online. And they'll deliver.
I bought both our washing machines at Kmart and my refrigerators there.
Actually, I went to Lowe's and I bought up in Santa Rosa my new stovetop. So,
anyway.
So they got my taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought it'd be cool to have a Fry's in town because I'm so into tech stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be very cool.
Exactly.
I'd like to have an Apple store in town.
The problem is it's already too late in some cases. The pattern and the habits that people now have shifted.
Yeah.
You know, look, a few years ago, I would spend hours trying to get a replacement razor for my electric razor. This is a true story. I'm not that creative today, so I'm just picking an actual example. I drove around, I spent probably an hour or maybe an hour and a half going to several stores trying to find this thing before I finally gave up, realized I had to order it online.
Yeah.
And so
I hate that.
It's a vicious cycle, though, because the problem is the stores can't keep inventory because for a lot of these odd things, there aren't enough people coming in for a spare razor. You know, it was a foil, I guess, for my electric razor. And so what happens is then the stores don't stock product, and then the customers know they can't get product there, and then they never return to that store, and then it's just this diminishing downward spiral.
It's true what you say about the online thing is that I refuse to do online. And about a year ago, I was faced with doing the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to have to order online. And then I found how easy it was.
Yep.
And then I kind of got sucked into
Amazon
Prime. And now I'm...
They know that. And it's similar way Safeway is realizing they need to do some creative things.
I am gluten-free, and so it's hard to get some gluten-free products. Maybe not so much now, but I've always purchased my gluten-free flours from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And it's not just retail. Office space is changing. More and more people are working from home. They're telecommuting. More and more people are choosing these co-workspaces. We have at least two downtown. We have work, and we have the other one that opened up. Actually, in the old office I used to be in. Actually,
the one in Kentucky?
The one on the Tuttle Drug.
I was just there about a month ago. Yeah. Oh, my God, that is a beautiful space.
It was a beautiful space
people.
When our office was there.
Oh, it's amazing.
Unfortunately, we couldn't sustain that.
Yeah.
Very expensive place as well. But anyway, when we're talking about candidates and people running for council and for mayor, a lot of what I'm hearing relates to ways that we need to get revenue because we need to be able to have more police and we need to be able to fix more potholes. So where are the ways that we get revenue and we get into taxes and we get into approving more development projects, but those only give us impact fees that barely cover the impact.
You know, when you look at the front page of the paper, this pothole pavement rated poor. Okay, that's been for 20, I think we could probably go 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The same thing, headline. Every time before an election, they start scaring people.
Right.
And you just get tired of, I get tired of the politics like this.
Yep.
I mean, it's the same thing. And I think what's interesting is Rainier is not like the big hot topic issue. People are talking about it. But people are saying, you know what, you've been promising me this for how many years?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the funding. You're going to tax me for it. And let's be truthful about it.
Yeah.
And the public is finally starting to, I think, recognize this, except the few that are just diehards,
mm-hmm.
and don't want to know facts and finances.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah. And then I think another interesting one is the fireworks ban.
Oh,
You know, it's, I think in Santa Rosa, I believe they ended up, the public decided on that. Is that true? It was a public vote in Santa Rosa. I'm not sure, but they're kind of talking about.
You know what year that was?
Santa Rosa, I'm not sure.
It's been a while, though.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, what happens is they push this to a public vote, kind of like almost an initiative, you know, a state initiative. And that kind of worries me because I really think that our city council should be able to make those types of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to spend $50,000 to let me make a decision when I have actually voted you in to make these decisions.
Right.
And I can see that.
Well, wasn't the only reason that we would make it a ballot issue because the council hasn't agreed to do that?
Well, the council can decide
Yeah, but they haven't. What I'm saying is, so couldn't we
decide? No, the council can decide to put it on the ballot so they don't have to address it.
Right. They don't want to address it. How many years have we been standing in front of the dais at public comment?
Right.
When I say we, I mean a lot of people here in Petaluma.
Yeah.
They've had enough.
But what I'm saying is we could put it on the ballot.
Yeah,
we don't need the council to put it on the ballot. Apparently,
the council would do this for us.
But we didn't elect the right people.
It costs a lot of money put something on the ballot.
No matter what. It's like this whole bathtub art issue.
Right.
No matter what you do, you're going to piss off half the people in this town.
Yeah.
And especially those that are nonprofits, and they this is income for them.
Yeah.
Every 4th of July, yeah, they rely on the sale of fireworks to support them.
And what I've seen is the proposal that was considered would have given them a couple years grace period while they adapt and figure out a different way to make money.
You know, that's the same conversation that happened years ago. Yeah. You need to start looking at different revenue. Yeah. So, like I'm saying, in the front page of the paper, it's about the potholes. Front page of the paper, it's the same conversation.
Yeah.
You need to start looking for new revenues.
Yeah.
So the conversation hasn't changed. The year has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If they decided they wouldn't want to ban them, I am in favor of areas, designated areas where you can discharge your fireworks and let some of these nonprofits provide that space, some schoolyards or, you know, if you're raising them for the schools. And let's have discharge areas at your school. Would you like that? You know, churches?
That's good suggestions.
How about your church parking lot? You're selling them out of your parking lot.
Right.
Let people discharge there.
Right.
I don't know. It's got to be a better way.
Well,
it's not working.
How about a virtual fireworks show? Because we do have a lot of high tech these days. Do we really need explosives? Do we really need these noxious metals and things?
I'd say my grandkids absolutely.
It's not good. No, we do.
We
used to be used to slaves. Also, I mean, a lot of things change.
I'd like to see it, you know, put in a. I like your idea, Cindy.
Yeah.
You know, creative ways of maybe you can keep them going.
Come up with an answer that will satisfy.
We do have one answer, and that is we have a public fireworks display every year.
Exactly.
Is that not enough for people?
Boy, it was a great one this last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was pretty good.
Frankly, is that the best use of our money? Tens of thousands of dollars to do those shows?
A lot of times
it's
donated.
You don't hear me complaining about that one. You don't hear me complaining about that one.
I
will tell you. It costs me $500 every 4th of July to board my dogs.
Yes. So there's that. Exactly.
Right?
So there's that.
I wouldn't complain about that. I keep the big fireworks at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But let's get rid of all this fire hazard.
I'd frankly be fine with channeling those dollars towards the homeless or something. Those shows cost tens of thousands of dollars to do. And it's within a few minutes, it's burned up, and for what? So we can wave our flag and go, yay, wasn't that cool? It reminds us of when we had a war a long time ago. Well, you know.
Sometimes a lot of times it is donated money.
Yeah.
I know.
And I understand that it could go to other areas.
Exactly.
It's not like the city.
But we have to beef up our police force, our fire force.
There's expenses.
And pay people.
There's expenses.
And the city pays for
that.
That's
very true.
So imagine if we had a huge performing arts center, you know, at the fairgrounds, and we had an indoor, crazy, cool, high-tech laser light show. Safe, so it doesn't get into anyone's eyes. But you have no fumes. You have none of the toxins that go into the environment.
Place
and
Pink
much
Floyd
lower.
Music.
If you think of this, even better yet, we could all put these little goggles on and be in our house and experience it together virtually.
Like Disneyland, I like it.
I know. Okay, crazy. I know. No one will know.
But I think we should talk about the fairgrounds.
Let's talk about the fairgrounds.
Because there's a lot of discussion about the fairgrounds, and some of the discussion was that City Hall should move to the fairgrounds and also the police station.
Yeah.
This is not a new conversation because I know when I was on the council, we had those conversations.
Yes, we did.
Because I was saying it would be great if you could actually centralize City Hall, but you really need to do a new police station and the fire headquarters in one building. So you would have all three of those in one area.
I'll tell you why that's also a really good idea. The amount of capital we could raise by selling the current City Hall. That spot.
That's very true, but I just want to bring up a couple points about the fairgrounds. I think what's really important is we need to know how contaminated the groundwater is under it.
Yes.
And the soil. Because
the,
I don't want the city to be, I mean, who's responsible for the cleanup?
Is that the speedway? From the speedway?
Are you going to tell us where the contamination came
from?
Well,
the speedway is one of them.
Yeah.
In back of the old fire station on Peyran Street where we're building together, there's a soil vac back there that I just saw.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cleaning up a contamination. And there's a school literally within spitting distance of this contaminated site. Mm. And then there's the school has a maintenance yard that has complete contamination. And I just read recent documents from April from BACMED or the Bay Area Air Quality Water Quality Board talking about how it's contaminated site.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they just got approval for selling more gas on that site,
mm-hmm.
and it's not up to any standards. I mean, there's contamination in this area, which is right next to a paintball where children are.
Well, there's a dog boarding facility right next door.
A dog building facility right next door.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And you have the racetrack, which, and that is probably just a toxic dump there.
Yep.
And we really need to look at that because moving that racetrack is not a smart
idea.
You
know, the racetrack thing is another one of those. Half the town going to be upset. Half the town would love it if it went away.
Yeah.
Put me on the half that would be fine. I would, to be honest, I totally get the nostalgia. I get the history. And people have been here longer than me. I don't want to take their thing away. And I'm in no position to do it. But seriously, it's noisy. It's pollutive. It's so old school. It's, can we do EV races? How about EVs? I mean, if we're going to do races, how about something green? Let's get them, you know, some Teslas out there. You know, Porsche's coming online with some EVs soon. Let's do an EV race. It wouldn't be as noisy, but it would sure be less noxious.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a hot issue.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's probably 50% of the people like it, 50% of the people don't. I am not bothered by it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we used to go as kids. It's exciting. My
grandkids
go now.
Yeah.
But I think my point is more, before we go ahead and say that we're going to go ahead and move all these facilities to the site, we need to really check about the groundwater, the toxicity, how much it's going to cost to clean that property up, and who has to pay.
Has there ever been any estimate as to what it's going to cost to clean it up? Has that ever been researched?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
The other thing is, the racetrack, that whole thing could stay the same.
Exactly.
Without, you know, disturbing the discussion about other changes that could happen. And this is the thing that I find is kind of funny from, I think Brian Powell actually mentioned as a candidate, he just said, nothing should change. You know, let's not do anything there. And I don't think he said, I can't remember if he said anything about raising the rent. I mean, we get a dollar a year.
And Dennis Posicay was the only one that mentioned a dollar a year.
Is there any revenue from the Speedway at all?
There is.
What is it? Do you know what it is?
I don't know, but it's pretty negligible.
Well, who gets the revenue?
Who gets it?
The Fair Board?
There must be a tax.
No, is it the Fair Board? Oh.
There must be some tax that comes from it.
I don't know.
But it's a good question. I mean, I'd love to see those numbers, what it's generating. And, you know, I think the other thing is people that are on the fair board and people that revere the fair, it's important to be sensitive to their concerns. Obviously, I don't think it makes any sense to completely remove the fair from Petaluma. It's a part of the tradition, our agricultural heritage, all that good stuff, dairy.
I thought it could stay there.
There still needs to be upgrades there, though. I mean, you can't, the footprint has to change.
Exactly.
But you can keep 20 acres
and
for...
That's the point.
Exactly.
Is there is a way where we can keep what we have but change the scale. And most of the candidates recognize that.
Right.
I think there were some different ideas on what types of projects would make sense to go there. Some people mentioned a convention center. There's, you know, we don't have one in town.
a performing arts center,
which
I believe the school district plans on building at Casa Grande. So you have to make sure you don't have competing interests.
It could be cool.
I'm really sorry we didn't get the idea that David Glass had, so that we could have a place for an entertainment venue.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice. I mean, I go to Luther Burbank.
That was Paulson.
Repeatedly, and
who was behind that?
And it seems a shame because it's so weird. It's so far away.
What was that?
Luther Burbank.
Right.
I mean, it's like, who is it serving? It's north of Santa Rosa. It's south of Ukiah, pretty significantly. I mean, you've got a few towns.
It was originally a church.
Yeah.
And when the church went under, people had a lot of money in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Pulled together and saved that building.
I mean, I love
it. So that's how it kind of it came about. It wasn't that they chose that area for Luther.
Oh,
Friday.
I see. It sort of evolved.
It was already there.
Yeah.
And so then there was a school on the site. Yeah. And so it changed hands because the church went under.
I love the performing arts.
Yeah.
Place. I mean, it's great. And the art, the public art that's there.
It's great.
It's awesome.
Isn't that great?
And it's engaging.
I know.
And
yeah.
Not to go there, but I think that could fit maybe in Petaluma, but anyway, what I was going to say is the downside is there's more traffic because we have to drive all the way up there to get to it. So if we had something in town, it would be nice. Now, then again, we're talking about things to change at the fairgrounds, which would induce more traffic.
Right.
So all of this stuff, when we think about it, has to also combine the goals of a more walkable core, which it could if it were mixed use.
You can get a heck of a lot of housing down there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many potentials.
Yeah.
And I do like the idea and
teacher
always
housing.
Have. Well, just housing, period. You know, I don't have to pinpoint who's going to get the housing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just housing. And I think it is a good idea to bring City Hall more centralized. I'd like to see the police and fire have one building and City Hall in one area instead of spread out.
Yeah.
You have the old the fire station. I mean, the police station. That's a valuable piece of property.
Yeah.
You know what? And it just doesn't seem very long ago to me that we moved the police station from English to that. Remember?
You know, it doesn't seem. It really hasn't.
We weren't very forward thinking, were we? Because that wasn't. We shouldn't be looking for a new place already.
Well, you know what? This just happened. This is an interesting thing.
Somebody did this.
Well, and the mortuary was closing down, and so there were, so it ended up being a police station. I mean, there were.
I know, but
both changed it. But,
yes.
But I really think part of the problem is not really looking at the fairgrounds over the years, and instead of just giving them their lease back, the city did not take enough control of that about what we're going to do for the future, and that's why you know with the police station, a fire, you know. Station, not stations, but the management all being in one building.
Administrative offices.
All administrative, exactly. And I think it's, so I think it's something we need to talk about, but I still want to know, I want to have a master plan for the site. And somebody did bring that up. I really liked Linda Fisher's comments
she said. She had an excellent answer.
Yeah, she was great. And she really has great planning background. And I thought she spoke really well.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what she had to say.
She did her homework.
And she knows this because of her planning background.
Yeah, and but you can tell that she actually took some time in advance to prepare, which is good. I mean, this is what these candidates should be doing. I was very impressed with her response. It was she talked about appointing. A committee. Mm-hmm. I think it was 18 people. She was very specific.
She was
about
specific.
It.
I liked it. It was great.
And it sounded like, let's just do this. It was good. I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm supporting her is she has a very good understanding of planning.
Great planning of her.
She has great
all
planning.
The way around.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Out of all the candidates, I mean, for everything that's going on in our nation.
Yeah.
I feel like women are being attacked. We only have two women that are running.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to...
For council and mayor.
I'm looking forward to a strong woman being the leader of our community and then having another strong woman with a great planning background because our community is going to be growing. We're changing.
I'm only voting for two males in our local races this time. It's mostly women. Five women I'm voting for because of the school board as well.
Oh, right. So. Exactly.
Okay. Now, I don't want to run out of time before we remind people that the candidates have just recently met a deadline to submit their campaign finance reports where they tell us where they're getting their money.
Yep.
And we have conveniently made that very easy for you to view going to insidepetaluma.com. And up at the top, if you look at the right, you click on where it says links.
Yep.
And you have direct links there where you can go and view each candidate's finance statement. And that will show you where they're getting their money.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, they dance with the ones who brung them.
Yeah,
so
they do.
That's right. That's
and
right.
You take a look at where they're getting their money, and you can clearly see what Petaluma is going to look like once you've seen that.
Yeah. I will say that I have to add the most recent ones to the website. They're not there yet. They'll be there at the end of the program today.
Well, they can see what's been there.
And there's also a link from there to the cityofpetaluma.net/cclerk/materials.html. Anyway, that link, that direct link is also on our website.
Right. And you can go, you can maneuver it real easily to get there.
Yeah. We've seen some come in, though. There's some new ones since those were posted. And, lots of money to look at. I'm still doing an analysis.
I'm going to tell you right now, having a billboard on East Washington
is very expensive. I haven't seen it.
Who's paying for that?
Well, yeah.
Not me.
Yeah, I'm not paying for it either. I think the signs, I'd love to see a sign ordinance that, you know, for political signs that you can only have yard signs.
Yeah.
I mean, the town has been polluted. Businesses are putting signs up, and it makes it look like they are supporting these candidates. Yeah. It doesn't seem...
Well, and I had a conversation with a business, not the owner, but an occupant who's running a business about the effects of the sign in front of his establishment and how he's just lost the ability for 50% of people to come in there and have a meal.
Well, you know, the other thing is on that, which I completely just lost my train of thought. I know. Somebody said to me, well, what if it's a Teresa Barrett sign? And I said, I feel the same way about if it's a Teresa Barrett sign.
Absolutely.
Or a
Harris
sign. You're
still abandoning 50% of the
exactly. And
community.
So it's across the board for me.
Yeah. Because this is a 50-50 race that we're looking at right now.
Well,
this is going to be damn close.
Yes, it is.
It's 50-50 based on our perception from the last election.
Exactly.
We don't know how many people are going to vote this time. Yeah. Hopefully the turnout is going to be higher.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a close election last time.
Yeah.
I'm looking
always
at
a close 87
one.
Votes or something.
It's always a close one. It has been for the last
it's true.
15,
it's
20 years.
True. I think with Maine, it was a little bit bigger spread, over 1,000 votes. But, yeah, I mean...
I'm talking about here in Petaluma.
That's what I was talking about. Oh, sorry,
okay.
Maine.
Jeff
I'm sorry,
Maine,
Jeff
Maine.
Maine. Oh, sorry. Wait a minute. What are we doing over on the East Coast?
We moved to another area. Speaking of other areas, I'm looking at the city website right now and the expenditures for Harris and... And this is kind of interesting. I'm not surprised, though. He's signed up to be on the COPS voter guide. There's a California voter guide. It doesn't say it here, but I will have to see what these look like. But
and this is a tricky thing, these voter guides.
Yes,
I want people to be very clear that it says Democrats.
Yep.
Here's your voting.
Yep. So he did this last time, and what it is if you're if you want to look like someone you're not, a really clever way to do that is to pay to get yourself listed on one of these voter slate guides, these voter guides. Now, what these are is they're disguised very cleverly, and they do this for multiple parties. I've seen them for Democrat. I've seen them for Democrat and Republican, and. And the idea is what they do is they present these things, and it all says, oh, these are Democrats. It'll show federal and state candidates.
I just kind of want to interject and just say that I was really disappointed that Levine, our assembly person, endorsed Mike Harris.
Yeah, he did.
And Dan Monte, I just hope people look at him as an assembly voting for him. He's a great guy. I was just at one of his forums. He's just very bright. He's thoughtful, and he's not a showboater.
Yeah.
And I really like him. And I think it's really important when we're talking about the financing, right, too, but we also start looking at who's actually endorsing, right, these candidates.
And yeah. Lynn Woolsey endorsed him.
Lynn Woolsey yeah. endorsed him, but also with Mike Harris, Bill Dawe did. Bill was a Republican yeah. that became a Democrat to get elected.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe, you know, Levine is, I've never cared mm-hmm. for him. I don't think he's done a lot for Sonoma County. He mm-hmm. hasn't brought us the money that we need.
Yeah.
And I'm just... And then he goes and supports Mike Harris,
anyway,
independent.
Beware when you get these voter guides, because a lot of times what they are is they're not real. And they trick people into thinking that the candidate has the support of the Democratic Party, for example, when they don't. And I see this every election. I see often elderly people, they come in to vote, and they've got their little voter guide, and they think that they're voting the ticket. You really need to be careful about that. And there's typically a disclaimer on the bottom of the page. And it's very fine print, so you need reading glasses for that, really,
yeah.
as
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, but read everything. Read yeah. every inch of those mailers.
Yeah.
yeah.
They're starting to come out now.
Yeah.
And so it's good. You know, my husband and I, we're going to sit down and we're going to read everything. We're not going by what is put in our mailbox or yeah. flyers.
Oh, and also read the op-ed pieces in the newspaper. You
yes.
can learn about candidates that way.
And actually, they were really good.
Yeah.
I thought they were pretty good.
I saw a really alarming one. I'm not going to mention the name of the candidate, but
yeah.
it was from a school teacher and...
Yeah, that was
pretty scary.
That was alarming.
Oh,
and not surprising.
This has been in the paper.
Yeah,
yeah. That was
why can't
paper.
We talk about it then?
Well, because we don't have time to talk about a lot of them, and I don't want to single out one person. But
right. I
yeah.
will say that I was in contact.
Maybe
with
we'll
this.
Talk about that next
yeah,
week.
I was in contact with this one person, and I did have to delete him because I thought he was a little scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the big things was revenue, stuff that we have to raise, and it's important that when we do that, that we're looking at taxes that we can actually pass.
We need to say goodbye.
Thank you. It was another great Friday.
Been listening to Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas, and I've been co-hosting with my friends Jason Davies and Janice Cater Thompson. And we will see you next week right here at KPCA 103.3 FM. Stream us at kpca.fm. Have a great day. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Are you tired of the mainstream tunes that other stations play over the airwaves? I'm sure you crave more diversity.
Hello, my name is Philip Lehman Brown, and I host Let's Make a List. Each week, I pick a topic relating to music, movies, video games, and basically anything pop culture. I make a list and go through each of my choices, being as nostalgic as possible. Usually, I have a guest or two with me, but the show is at its best when the listeners call in, share their opinions, and tell their own stories. Please tune in to Let's Make a List every Friday at 2 p.m. on KPCA 103.3 FM.
I heard there was a new radio station in town.
Oh, you mean Free Range Radio KPCA at 103.3 FM.
Yeah, that's right. How did How'd you know about that?
Well, I just look where all good information comes from, Facebook. Just follow the Free Range Radio KPCA page and join the discussion. Just keep it polite.
Facebook?
Yeah. Our on-air personalities will post updates and information on their shows, as well as events and news concerning the station.
KPCA LP, Petaluma, California.